So anyway, this morning we've started to really look at this whole issue of the biblical foundation for this revelation of God as a Father. And we use these chairs here to try and give us a picture of how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in this mutual place of interrelationship, thoroughly enjoying each other in this loving context called Trinity or the Godhead, and how they created this place for us. It's where we belong. It's what we're made for. You know, what we've seen is that we have been made for love, as the objects of the Father's love. We are made for this. But we also saw how everything went wrong, and we started in our thinking to create a God of our own brokenness. A G-O-D, a character, something that demands from us all the time and can never be satisfied. And we've often, this religious view has dominated our thinking. But wonderfully, Jesus came and we began to look at how Jesus started to reveal the Father to us. Now, we looked briefly at two incidents. The one when Mary was... brings Jesus into the world. She knew that he was the Son of God. There was the moment in the temple where at 12 years old, he knew who he was. He knew his real identity. Whilst he was happy to be known as the carpenter's son, he knew that God was his real father. And then in the baptism in the River Jordan, it's as if God himself, the Father, affirms him. He says, no, you are my son. He confirms what you've believed about yourself. That's who you are. And he affirms him with love, says, my son whom I love, I'm proud of you. You know, he does that for Jesus, and in so many ways, that resonates with us. Because we so long to hear that sort of language. You know, we need to know who we really are, and that we're really loved, and that God our Father's proud of us. And for us, the process of coming to that place often comes through our experience with our human fathers. And many of us haven't necessarily had that sort of relationship. But Jesus, nonetheless, comes to show us what God the Father is really like. And in this last session this afternoon, I want us just to look in the Gospels to see how Jesus actually revealed the Father. I was trained at a theological seminary in London many, many years ago, a place called Spurgeon's College. Those of you who know a bit about church history will know that the 19th century Baptist preacher in London, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was a bit like, you know, a George Whitfield or a Wesley, a great preacher of the gospel. And he established a college for pastors, and that's where I went. Now, okay, language again. Pastor. It's not what you eat. In Britain, we eat pastor, and the guys who lead churches are pastors. So I'm sorry if you're confused, but so, you know, just work with my language here. You know, I am not a piece of spaghetti, but I was a pastor, and he established the Pastor's College. And while I was there, I studied the scriptures, and we had to do things like translate John's Gospel from Greek into English and really get to know the scriptures. Well, I don't know what I was doing for those 4 years, because in recent years I've come back to this same bedrock and I'm thinking, that never used to be there before. That verse wasn't in the Bible when I studied it. You know, I think probably what was happening, I was looking at it through my head, the eyes of my head rather than the eyes of my heart. Because I'm discovering as I open up the Gospels again, it's absolutely stack full of references to the Father. Particularly John's Gospel, but it's true for the other three as well. In John chapter 17, Jesus, when he's praying this great high priestly prayer, he says this in verse 4. He says, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And I thought, I'd never really noticed that before. This is before the cross, before he's died. He says, I have completed the work you gave me to do. My forensic mind would say, well, that doesn't really make sense because he hasn't died on the cross yet. I thought he came to die for us. He came to die for our sins so that we would not be any longer separated from God. So why does he say, I have completed the work? Well, two verses further on, he says this, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. And I began to see what's happened is this. Jesus' task, the purpose of him coming, was to reveal the Father. To discover who God really was. And by the end of John 17, he has completed that task. He has done everything that he needed to explain who the Father was so that he could go to the cross with a very clear understanding of who God the Father was. You see, when we don't know God as Father, the cross becomes an instrument of punishment, an expression of the anger of God against us. Whereas actually Jesus is saying, no, he's Father. He goes to the cross because Father has prepared a way to bring us home. It's about reconciliation. All this sort of stuff. And I'm seeing this for the first time in the Gospels in these last few years, and I think, well, how come I've missed this so long?